You're listening to Writing Snippets, the podcast about writing. Your hosts for today are...
Ava.
Lauren.
Mark.
Lily.
Jocelyn.
Alice.
Episode 16.
For a long time, the fantasy genre has been popular, but fantasy for young readers, middle grade, and YA readers has been gaining more and more attention. And today we are speaking with the author of some fantasy for young readers, Mark Forman, who writes the Adventurers Wanted series. The first book is Slathbog's Gold, and the second book, which came out this February,
yes,
is The Horn of Moran. So, when you first began writing Slathbog's Gold, did you intend it to be fantasy for young readers?
Actually, no. I started writing the book without really having a planned audience in mind, and I tried to write it so that readers of all ages could enjoy it without making it so difficult, you know, so literary, or, you know, using such big words that younger people would go, I don't want to read that. So it was kind of written as a book for everyone.
So when did you decide that it was for young readers, or did your publishers decide that for you?
The publishers decided that for me. But I know that I have a lot of people who are, let's say, more mature readers. I don't want to say any ages, that are big fans of the book as well.
I think that that happens a lot with fantasy for younger readers. Why do you think that fantasy for younger readers appeals to such a large audience? I mean, there's lots of adults who read it.
There's a lot of adults who read it. Some of them secretly. They're closet fantasy readers. I think a lot of the younger reader stuff is, for the older readers, it's a guilty pleasure. They can, you know, take a couple hours, read the whole thing, be done, and, you know, have the whole story done and just be happy. And it's not a lot of work for them, and it's kind of a break from other things that they might normally read. I mean, nobody can read the same type of thing over and over and over, unless you're my dad. Louis L'Amour Westerns. Great books. I'm not saying anything against Louis L'Amour. Don't anybody email and say I'm mean that way. But, yeah, you need to read different things and the change of pace. And I think a lot of the fantasies, because there's enough different types, appeal to people that just want, you know, a quick change of pace and then, you know, back to my regular reading schedule.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I find something interesting about fantasy in particular. You know, I think that YA and middle grade books in general, just the contemporary ones, the straight ones, are not read by adults as much as the fantasy are. I mean, lots of really highly talked about, really popular books over the past decade have been fantasy for young readers. You know, you think Harry Potter, you think Percy Jackson, you think Twilight, and these are all fantasy for young readers. And I don't think that other books for young readers gain that same kind of popularity. What do you think it is about fantasy in particular?
I think it is just the fantasy genre. Per se, is that it appeals to all ages, and in fantasy you have to be, I don't want to say anything bad about other genres, you know, I mean, romance is fine, but, you know, in a young adult romance is not going to be anything like an older for older people or for more mature people. The romance is going to be different. Mystery stories for young people can't be as complicated as mystery stories for, you know, adults. So you have to look at that, and fantasy doesn't have to be complicated to be good, and I think that's why it's more popular with both the younger and the older, and not so different in its own aspect.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a difference. You look at a contemporary book, and it's people read it, and it feels like real life. I think when you get into fantasy, it's because you want an escape, and a fantasy is as far as you can get from real life.
That's true to a point. I mean, there's certainly things about real life in a fantasy. I mean, there's still the emotions and the decisions and the conflict that you'd have in real life. There's just different ways of dealing with it that, you know, maybe a lot of people wish they really could do.
It's
an escape.
Yes, it is an escape, I think so.
I heard a quote once, and I love fantasy, but it was, fantasy reveals a truth that reality obscures. And I think that's really, really a good point, that we can do things in fantasy that we can't do in real life and deal with issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes fantasy can deal with issues in a way that feels very universal. Contemporary stories don't always feel as universal as fantasy stories.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, contemporary stories, it's like, well, I've never been a 14-year-old female person living in New York, so I have no idea what she's feeling, and I don't know if I can relate to this.
Yeah.
Whereas a fantasy story, it's like, okay, I dreamed about being whatever when I was a kid or
and
even now.
Just the themes, you know, there's usually themes of, you know, self-discovery and trying to decide the difference between what's right and what's wrong and things like that.
And heroism.
Heroism and
light versus dark.
Yeah, those sorts of universal things come up in fantasy, and they usually get played pretty heavily in young adult fantasy and middle grade fantasy.
Maybe they're a little bit more clear cut as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to see that this wizard with the black staff is a bad guy, and this main character who is a young man or a young woman out on their own discovering the world around them is the hero or the heroine. I think the lines are a lot more black and white sometimes.
I think there's a definite segment of the reading populace that really wants things to be more black and white, and fantasy things do tend to be more black and white.
I think they can be. I don't think they have to be.
Yeah, they don't have to be.
And I've read some stuff that isn't. You know, it's like, oh, wait, the guy I thought was the villain is really the good guy. But it, you know, usually very well defined. There's not people that are somewhere in the middle going,
yeah,
I'm sort of evil. I'm not really all that good, but I'm not really a bad person. You know, fantasy doesn't usually do that. It's usually, okay, this person is what they are, and they don't apologize for
More of that is popping up in fantasy for adults, but I think that in the younger reader's fantasy, it does tend to stay a lot more black and white. Not always, but...
Not always. Like Percy Jackson, there was the guy.
No spoilers.
You're not sure if he's a good guy or if he's a traitor.
Yeah. Brandon Sanderson wrote a book called Warbreaker. And I can start a book and I can pretty much predict. You know, I'm used to the formulas. I can see what's coming.
His books this are predictable. His
endings could
are...
not... It,
twists. You didn't have any idea what was going to happen, did you?
I had no clue. And it turned out the bad guys were completely...
you can't tell.
No spoilers.
You have to start a new website if you want to tell all the spoilers. WritingSpoilers.com. That's next week.
Let's get out of spoiler territory.
But when you're reading a contemporary novel, you can't have a character that is doing all of these amazing heroic things.
Yeah.
Because
real
they're
life
living
isn't that
in the
way.
Real world.
Yeah, real life doesn't
and
work that way.
If people are wanting that heroic, exploratory,
save the world,
learning about yourself, all of this, they almost have to go to another place.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't work in this setting.
Well, that's very depressing, Lauren. I'm a hero.
I think it occasionally can,
children.
But it's harder to make it work.
Well, very
in Tom Clancy, yes, you can.
Okay, Mr. Clark is always the hero. I just
okay,
know he
it's
is.
Very clear cut.
I know who he is. Okay, so he did some things, but he's still a hero.
I had a question from way back.
Okay.
And then a couple comments. But first of all, so you turned your first manuscript in not as a young reader's fantasy.
I did not
you
specify
did not
that okay. It was for just young readers or just, you know, whatever age group. I just sent it in as, I'd like to publish this.
Unfortunately,
it's a fantasy.
Do that
and time. They looked at it and said, yeah, this is probably a young adult fantasy novel. And, you know, some of the ages have been younger than I thought they would be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's how they took care of that for me.
You
and
got
I'm
lucky.
Like, okay, I got very lucky, and I'm like, well, thank you. That's not what I planned, but I didn't really have a plan, so
yeah.
I'm glad it worked out for you.
Yeah, because a lot of publishers want to know right where your book is going
to
fit in.
Yeah,
right
in the
query
letter.
Yeah, and I think I basically had it as just regular fantasy or maybe YA fantasy, but I mean they've gone and kind of shunted it right to the position it needs to be, I think.
Yeah,
I hope.
That's good.
And
what is the age that typically reads?
I don't know the exact age number. I think usually fourth grade. How old are fourth graders?
Fourth grade, okay.
Ten.
My
about ten.
I've had younger readers than that. I've had kids as young as like 5 and 6.
Wow,
they must be amazing readers. You know,
yeah.
Maybe they're advanced readers. I don't know.
My definitely can't even write his name yet.
And then I've got, I've had other people who have read it that are, you know, in their 60s and retired. And
wow.
So,
from 5 to 60, that's a big
audience. That's a big audience, and I'm happy to reach them all.
So you're fantastic.
It was true. You didn't have to...
You didn't have to
say it was young readers because...
Because it's not really... You know, it's not just for kids. Yeah. It's can be for everybody, and
that's,
if they like fantasy, give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's the kind of story I want to write. Something that suits everybody.
Yeah, I understand. Know? You don't want to say, okay,
you have to be
between 8 and 12 to understand this story.
Yeah.
You have to be over 40 to understand this story.
I want this story to mean something to anybody who reads it.
Yeah.
But agents don't want to hear that when you're querying.
I know they don't.
Well, they don't know everything.
Yeah, but...
But they are helpful.
I don't know what they don't know.
Ah. That's a conundrum.
Conundrum.
I don't use that word in books. People go, what?
Since you're young readers. So I started reading young adult middle grade fantasy when my kids got to the age where they started reading it. I just started reading what they started bringing home, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
So, and I like to know what they're reading, too, but I really, that's when I got into it.
Well, Slatsbog's Gold is awesome. I can't wait to have my kids get introduced with fantasy with this book. I'm just so excited about it.
Yeah, something mm-hmm. that I thought was fun about it is that it's very reminiscent of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, and I feel like it's sort of a good gateway book to that sort of classical fantasy. Are you a big Tolkien fan?
I am a big Tolkien fan. I've had several people mention that it is very Tolkien-ish. That was not intended when I first started reading it. I may have read The Lord of the Rings a few months before I started writing, and it just slipped in. But that was not my intention, and I think I probably, if I could change it now, I might change it to be less Tolkien-ish.
I have to interject because I like all fantasy. I kind of soak it up, and I would giggle at the parts that were a throwback kind of to the old classics and things like that. I thought it was really fun. I can't believe you could get away with it, but it was awesome.
Yeah, I'm surprised they let me get away with a few things, because it wasn't just Tolkien. There were some,
there were some other
Robert Louis Stevenson and Ursula K. Le Guin references in there that nobody...
On purpose?
Some of them were on purpose. Some of them were just subconscious on my part.
Nice homages.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you gotta have... heroes.
Yeah, something that I have noticed recently is that over the past few years, it's contemporary and urban fantasies that are really gaining attention in the YA and middle grade categories, but there's always still seems to be at least a pretty steady market for more traditional fantasies like yours. Do you ever think that traditional fantasy will jump back into the spotlight and take over again, or do you think that contemporary is going to continue to hog that spotlight?
I don't think contemporary will continue to hog the spotlight, per se. I think there will always be a market for contemporary fiction, and right now the contemporary fiction is the hot ticket. Everybody wants to write contemporary fantasy. This happened in my town, and I think at some point the market will become kind of glutted with that kind of thing, and the traditional fantasy will push back and say, yeah, we want to be outside of the world we all know so
after
well.
After our 5 millionth werewolf book.
We enough with the vampires, enough with the zombies, enough with the werewolves. Mm-hmm. Let's have some fresh material.
Bring back the elves.
Where are my elf friends?
Orcs.
You know, and we need the traditional bad guys that we can tell that aren't all mushy and wishy-washy about what they are.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, I don't believe in romantic vampires. It just doesn't work. This doesn't happen.
Okay, my daughter made a comment today, because she's reading Brandon Mull's books.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like 18 now, and she hadn't read them before, but she's kind of gotten into them, and she's like, I like this because it's more like the fantasy and Lord of the Rings type fantasy, where it's the real fantasy. You know, she called it the real fantasy, where there's all these little fantastical
creatures.
It's a different world.
It's a different world. She likes them.
The traditional fantasy has some very set, standard types of creatures mm-hmm. that contemporary fantasy kind of ignores because, you know, okay.
They're not romantic.
Well, okay, contemporary fantasy, you're here on Earth. Things have to be fit in with Earth other than, you know, zombies or werewolves or whatever. Mm. But there's no elves or dwarves or brownies or, you know, those things don't happen on Earth. And so you can't have them in the story. Whereas the traditional stuff, those things are common, and a unicorn. They're all over the place. You know, and on Earth, it's like, what's wrong with that horse?
Or you can pick and choose your creature or your races or your pick environment.
And pick and choose your environments. You can pick and choose the monsters, the creatures, the, you know, everything, or just make up your own in the traditional fantasy.
It's not just one kind of fantastical creature in the story. There's all kinds.
There could be, you know, all kinds of things that don't really work in our world.
Yeah.
So, once you discovered that your books were going to be marketed as books for younger readers, did you feel like you had to follow certain constraints and avoid certain types of language or extreme violence or anything like that?
I don't really feel constrained when I'm writing. I honestly don't think about it that directly and say, ooh, wait, this is kind of scary, we better change that. I more or less, I write it, and then when I come back and edit later, I'll look at it and go, well, you know, maybe tone down this a little. Don't use these big words that even most adults don't know. they fit really well when I was writing the first draft. They don't fit now. They don't go with my characters. You know, nobody talks like that. So I do try and keep a certain guideline in my head that I follow on edits. But when I'm first drafts, I just write, and I'm not really concerned about it.
No, I think one of the myths about writing for children is that you have to keep things simple and straightforward. And especially, you know, in fantasy, you think about world building. Oh, do I have to keep things simple? Can you help debunk that myth for us?
I don't think that's true. I think most kids today are very sophisticated for their age. They know a lot more of what's going on. And you don't need to talk down to them. You can talk to them just like normal people. And most of the time, they'll understand it. And if they don't, they probably shouldn't. Or, you know, I mean, they might have questions like, what is this word? But, I mean, when you're writing, you know, you can use bigger words that they may not know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But if you write it in such a way that it explains it in context,
right,
they're fine with that. And they don't complain and say, I haven't got a clue what he's talking about. It's like, he used this big word, and I think I know what it means now because of the way it was used.
Yeah, I read a quote recently from Diana Wynne Jones, who has authored so many fantasy novels for young readers. And I think I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember the exact quote, but it was something along the lines of, I don't like writing for adults because I feel like I have to explain everything in great detail while the children will just take it as it comes.
That's true.
And I think that is true. Children have very open minds. They don't pick everything apart quite as much as adults do. Some kids do, but most of them will just take it as it comes.
Yeah, most kids, I think, are like, hey, this is a fantasy. I know it's a fantasy. I don't need every little thing explained to me on how magic works or how this worked. You know, it's fantasy. I understand that. I'm good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like your sentence, or you keep...
You're not speaking English? How long have you been in the country?
An hour. All right. In your book, you have one of your characters say that it's magic, and once you believe that, everything else works.
Everything else is simple once you can bring yourself to believe in magic.
Yeah, yeah. That sums up the whole genre right there.
That explains it. It's magic. I don't need to know. I don't need to know exactly how that happened. It was magic.
Ava, did you have? Okay, my husband does not like fantasy at all. He has not been able to get through. I think in Harry Potter, he gets to the point where they run into the wall. He's like, that's always the last thing I remember when they're pushing their cart
into the wall.
You didn't get very far, did you? But he just can't get into fantasy because he doesn't get it. And I'm like, well, you don't have to get it. You just have to open your imagination.
Open your mind and let it go.
He likes history, real life. But I tried to explain to him, they're kind of metaphors on real life and these, you know, truths that are universal, you know, and it's like good versus evil, and it's just, you know, and he's just like,
See, my dad's that way. He doesn't, he did listen to the Harry Potter on tape, but he won't read it. and he liked the movies that he saw.
Oh.
But he is, you know, you ask him about fantasy, he goes, well, that's just not real.
Yeah,
he's like,
right.
That's the point, Dad.
But there are so many things about it that are real. I always relate things in fantasy to real life.
Which is the appeal of the genre, is that fantasy applies to real life, even though there's no magic or dragons or,
yeah.
But it's the truths that are coming out and the stories still fit with real life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think fantasies are fairly optimistic. Not always, but they have a lot of optimism
dark
in
fantasy.
Them.
And
the dark fantasies.
There are dark fantasies, but most of them are happy. In a roundabout
I
way.
Love the way fantasy fires my imagination, how it just gets me going, and I can move from this Harry Potter scenario, and my mind can take it and just switch it around and take it in a completely different direction. And it doesn't matter that it's not real. It's your imagination, and it's where your imagination can take you and the stories that you can come up with.
And it doesn't matter that that's not the way it was written.
No, it
now it's your fantasy.
Now it's mine.
Because I can take it wherever I want to go.
And it's fascinating to me, and I love to let my imagination go and just
the whole creative process is just it opens up your it expands your mind,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yep.
Okay, does anyone have any final questions before I wrap things up?
I'm gonna bring up Slath Bog.
Okay.
Slath.
Slath.
It's all that chocolate. You're done.
I licked the knife.
The truth comes out.
It's not a telling after all. No, I want to bring up Slathbog's goal because you have a really, really fine line that you pulled from all classic fantasy, and it felt like a book that's been around a long time, and you threw in these really cool twists and things to it. I really enjoyed it, and it was like I was on the adventure. It was because I like to play RPG games,
mm-hmm.
and it really appealed to that and the gamer in me, and I had a good time, really good time reading.
I sat in the living room. A while ago, and my kids were reading Slathbog's Gold in the back room, and I heard them laughing about the bottlenecked Geebs. And they were just laughing and laughing and laughing about that, and that made me want to read the book.
Well, good.
Because they were, my kids just enjoyed them so much. So it's those little things that are completely different. They're
and that means I did something
new.
Right.
You did.
The bumble pigs.
Bumble hog. it's a bumble hog.
There's a difference.
I don't have any bumble pigs yet. However.
This is a lesser race of the bumble hogs.
It could be a subspecies. Not quite as grumpy.
Domesticated.
Better for barbecue.
And the wings are the same size, so these can fly.
These can actually fly, yeah, because they're smaller. And... But no stingers.
No stingers on the bumble
hogs? No, they're domesticated. Bumble pigs, bumble hogs.
Bumble hogs have stingers?
Oh, they got stingers and tusks and just a bad attitude. They're just nasty little critters.
Big critters.
Well, yeah, they're pretty big, about the size of this table.
Whoa.
No wonder
that'd
they can't
a full-grown one.
That'd be quite a barbecue.
Yeah, they don't taste good. Mm. Kind of like...
They just get stuck in water.
Too tough.
Cross between a
kind of
tarantula
muddy tasting,
and
mossy tasting.
The trolls like
a swamp tarantula.
Well, trolls like pretty much anything they can catch. Rocks.
Okay, before we end things, do you want to give out any advice to fantasy writers who want to write for young readers?
For just young readers?
Or fantasy writers in general?
I think the fantasy writer in general writes for the young reader in mind because all the readers somewhere in their heads or in their hearts are young.
Mm-hmm.
And the only advice I can really give anyone is to just keep working at it. Write something every day. Even when you don't feel like writing and would rather play RPG games. And, you know, really try to put yourself into your story. And I think that will get you there in the end.
Oh, great. Thanks so much for talking with us today, Mark. And anyone who wants to enter a drawing to win a signed copy of Slathbog's Gold, comment under this entry and you'll be entered. And I used the word entropy too many times.
So and if you know, don't win, go buy the book.
Repetitive yes. is my problem.
Anyway, thanks for listening to Writing Snippets.
Thanks, Mark.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
No words were harmed in the making of this podcast. Go to www.writingsnippets.com for more podcasts.